Would you open in your Bibles to John chapter 20? Again, we're looking at the post-resurrection narratives of Jesus. They're really interesting. And we're starting off with the character study of Mary Magdalene. I call her Mary Magdalene the missionary. John 20, 11 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, and one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said. "I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Do not say Jesus does not have a sense of humor." She thought he was the gardener. The gardener. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And then she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means actually "my teacher." Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to the brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she told them, and she told them that he had said these things to her. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thank you for this season of Eastertide. The 40 days that afterward that you showed yourself to your disciples. And Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes to the truths of Mary Magdalene this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So here we are, Eastertide. I know a lot of evangelicals don't think, you know, it's sort of Easter is done and we kind of move on is the thought. But I think it's good to continue on in the Easter theme because we forget. We tend to forget lots of things. Most people are thinking, what's next? But we forget the purpose and the power of Jesus' resurrection in our lives and how it really does change everything. And that's why it traditionally in churches over the centuries, they would take time to linger over the events of Jesus' resurrection. So you remember, just as there are 40 days before Easter, we call that Lent, a preparation time, there are 40 days after Easter, and the gospel authors actually do linger. And so let me encourage you to look at the post-resurrection stories, the stories of Jesus showing up after the resurrection to his followers in various ways in your own devotionals. We have all these kind of stories in the Gospels. And part of what they thing that they do is that they help remind the forgetful disciples and followers of the truth that Jesus is alive. Now, again, these stories, Bible scholars call these the post-resurrection narratives. And so again, as I mentioned earlier, during this Eastertide 40-day sort of season, we are going to, up until Mother's Day, look at three of John's stories. And we're kind of looking at them as character studies. We'll look at Mary Magdalene this morning, Doubting Thomas, and then Peter. And then we'll end on Communion Sunday with Luke's story of the Emmaus Road. Now, John's account of the resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter, he starts really with Mary Magdalene. And we know that on that first Easter, Mary Magdalene was one of the women who had come to the tomb of Jesus, crack of dawn, with the spices. So they would prepare the body with these expensive spices. And, you know, these spices would mask the awful decay of the stench that they expected to smell, finish that burial process of Jesus. But much to Mary's surprise, she found the stone rolled away, the mouth of the tomb was wide open, and there was no body of Jesus. That's what she was expecting. Now here's the detail of John. I find this really interesting. It's really easy to miss, right? John goes so far to imply that Jesus had folded his own grave clothes and he made his bed. Now, in Matthew, the Jewish leaders told the guards, and said, you know, just lie. Just say the disciples came and stole the body in the middle of the night with a Roman guard. Roman guards, if they were derelict in their duty, they would be executed, right? So if the disciples stole the body, do you think they lay around and just make the bed? No, this is an interesting detail of John. Jesus made his own bed, right? John says, Peter and another disciple, probably John himself, ran to the empty tomb after hearing the report of the women, and Mary seemed to linger at the empty tomb of Jesus. Luke 24 tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other woman reported that Jesus was alive, and the disciples did not believe them. Understanding a message like that. Well, throughout history, men have had difficulty understanding women. Have you noticed this? Oh, you're going to go there. Yeah. Kind of like the time when a man was walking down the beach and he found a brass lamp. He rubbed it, and to his astonishment, a genie came out and offered to grant him not three, but one single wish. And after careful thought, he said, you know, all my life I've wanted to visit Hawaii, but I'm scared to death of planes and boats. I want you to build me a bridge from California to Hawaii. The genie was like, what are you talking about? Do you have any idea how much engineering and concrete that would require? Ask for something else. So the man thought for a minute. After a pause, he said, okay, can you help me understand women? I do not understand their mysterious ways. Please give me the ability to understand women. Wasn't there a funny movie with Mel Gibson about that? Oh, wasn't that an eye-opener for the dude? Help me to understand them. And after a thoughtful pause, the genie was rubbing his head, and the genie said, do you want two lanes or four lanes for that bridge? Yeah. Well, you know, here we come. Mary Magdalene, the first missionary, devoted follower of Jesus Christ, she lingered, she wept at the empty tomb. Everyone else had gone home, right? Certainly we wish we knew more about this great woman of faith, but what can we learn from the scriptures, and what can we learn from church history? How can she be a spiritual model for us as modern followers of Jesus today? Well, searching the scriptures, looking at history and that kind of thing, it can be a little confusing at first. Have you noticed how many women named Mary there are in the Bible? It's like, well, which Mary is this, right? Okay, Mary Magdalene, you've got Mary, the wife of Cleopas, the wife of the guy on the Emmaus Road, we'll get to him. Mary, the mother of James, and then Jesus' own mother named Mary. What's curious about Mary Magdalene is this. I wanted to spend a second on this. She was not associated with a husband or a male child, but rather a town. This would indicate that she was neither married nor had children. That was highly unusual in Jesus' day. Instead, the gospel authors say that she was from a town in Galilee, the ruins there today, named Magdala. And we learn through historical sources that Magdala was a pretty good-sized town back in its day, had nearly 40,000 people in it. And here's the thing about Magdala in Israel at the time. It was mostly non-Jewish people, Gentiles. There were some Jewish people in there. But Magdala had a really bad reputation among Jewish rabbis as a licentious and immoral city. You know, kind of like the Apostle Paul discovered in Corinth. Read the Corinthian correspondence. I mean, sometimes I hear from Christians, they're like, you know, we need to be a church like a New Testament church. I'm like, I don't think so if we're talking Corinth. I'll take Mosaic for 1,000, Alex. Thank you. Right? But this is the kind of town that Mary was from, actually. And so here's Mary, not associated with a husband or a male child. She's associated with a very immoral, sexually loose city named Magdala. And to add to those saucy details, we find Mary Magdalene traveling around as a single woman with Jesus and his disciples among a group of married women. Have you noticed this? It was utterly unheard of for women to follow a rabbi. It wasn't really allowed back then. I mean, this is Jesus, and the married women are coming, and you know what they're doing? They're bankrolling the operation. If you read the scriptures really carefully, they're cooking, they're taking care of stuff for these guys. These guys back in the day, they don't know how to cook. A lot of young men are learning to cook today because a lot of the ladies are like, I'm not doing that. You know, this is not the 60s or something, but I tell young men today, it's like, you're marrying that girl, do you know how to cook? No. Does she know how to cook? You better have some discussions before you get involved in this. So here's Mary Magdalene, single woman following Jesus. Luke 8 says this, Jesus had cured her and some other women from evil spirits and diseases. These women, in turn, provided for the needs of Jesus and the disciples out of their own means. So here's how that works. We're doing a little investigation here, a little Kojak work, right? Am I dating myself? Who loves you, baby? Greeks. Anyway, right. Yeah. Sorry. The women are bankrolling this. This would mean that they had husbands or sons with money, because again, remember, women in that day did not work outside the home, right? So they weren't wage earners, and to have had the time and the freedom and the disposable income to support Jesus and his disciples, they'd have to get it from their men or through an inheritance or through a less savory means. Mary Magdalene, in the end of the day, was neither married nor had a male child nor was associated with a deceased male relative who bequeathed her significant funds and resources. So this means the only other means outside of income usually came through prostitution. And that's why early Christians associated Mary Magdalene with prostitution before her becoming a follower of Jesus. Now, to be fair, the Gospels don't say that directly, but we know Jesus had a funny habit of hanging out with despised people. This got him in a lot of trouble. Tax collectors, drunks, and prostitutes, among others. Which kind of reminds me of the time when a drunken man was weaving down the sidewalk in Ireland at 3 a.m. missing a shoe when a police officer stopped him. To which the drunken sot said, "Good evening, officer. What seems to be the trouble?" And the cop said, "Well, aren't you in a fine state? Where are you going at this late hour?" To which the inebriated fellow answered, "I'm headed to a lecture in a few minutes about the evils of drinking, gambling, and staying up at all hours of the night." And like the disciples who didn't believe Mary, the police officer said, "I don't believe you for a minute. After all, where are you going at this late hour who's going to be willing to give you a lecture after seeing you in your condition?" To which the plastered patron replied, "Officer, that would be my wife." And so we are told that when Mary Magdalene was at the tomb on that first Easter morning, she wept for Jesus who cured her from demonic spirits, disease, and a dark and hard life of selling her body for money. No wonder she loved Jesus so much. Remember, those who have been forgiven much love much. Imagine her surprise. Verse 12, through tears, she sees two angels at the tomb, sitting where Jesus' crucified body had previously laid. Their question, verse 13, must have come as a shock. The angels seem surprised about Mary's question, right? "Why are you crying, Mary?" As if they didn't know. Maybe they didn't realize that Mary hadn't got the memo yet. And so she said, "They've taken away the body of the one who saved me in every possible way that a person could be saved." Sounds like the Titanic, right? The movie. "But I don't know where they've taken him." At which time, John tells us she turned around only to find that no one had carried off Jesus. But she was so distraught, she didn't recognize Jesus at first. We'll get to that with the Emmaus Road, the two guys there. Again, the problem was that Mary Magdalene, like others, had forgotten the most important message of Jesus. She probably remembered the parables, the mighty miracles, the insightful sayings of Jesus, but she failed to realize they all pointed to this moment of the empty tomb. She had to be reminded not only by the angels, but by the risen Jesus himself. Even Jesus' questions didn't cause her to remember, right? His first question, just like the angels, "Why are you crying?" The second question is humorous. It's playful. Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" I think some of our ideas of Jesus are unbiblical, right? As if Jesus didn't have a sense of humor, as if he didn't like a good joke or something like that. The scriptures really say something very, very different. We make Jesus in really weird images. Have you seen the pictures? Huh, weird. Who are you looking for? What's funnier is Mary Magdalene, probably the most devoted follower of Jesus, was so distraught she mistook Jesus for the gardener. She thought he was there to water some plants or something, you know, dig up some weeds. And thought that the resurrected Son of God was the gardener. Why are so many Christians astounded that Jesus is so funny, so playful? Kind of like the time. When a man went to a friend and was amazed to find him playing chess with his dog, the man watched with astonishment for a while. "I can hardly believe my eyes," he said. "That's the smartest dog I've ever seen in my life." "He's not so smart," his friend replied. "I've beaten him 3 out of 5 games." Why are we so slow to believe? Notice it's only when Jesus calls out lovingly Mary's name that she recognizes the one who saved her from demonic oppression, disease, and a dark life of prostitution. She responds to him in a special Aramaic term. NIV slightly misses it. Usually it's rabbi, teacher. But she says Rabboni, which actually means my teacher. "This is my Lord," she says. Mary Magdalene, who out of love for Jesus wanted to grab hold, hug Jesus, never let him go, is reminded by Jesus that he's yet to return to his Father in heaven, and yet he commissions her to a special work of evangelism. You know, in some churches, for the life of me, it's like, well, so because you did this or you did that or whatever, you're never worthy to do A, B, or C. I'm sorry, the Bible says exactly the opposite. Mary Magdalene, former prostitute, becomes the first Christian missionary. Go preach that in some churches. They'd throw you out on your heels, right? It's right here in black and white, right? I'm sure she remembered with fondness all those different things, but she forgot the most important thing. She forgot that Jesus was raised from the dead, right? Rabboni, right? The thing that struck me this week is she's really the first Christian missionary entrusted with taking the good news of Jesus to others. His handpicked disciples would come along later. Her message is simply this: I've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus. You know, some of you are like, "Oh, I'm not really an evangelist. I'm uncomfortable talking about my faith with people." You don't have to make it a big deal. Share your life. Be kind, loving. When it comes up, talk about the Lord as is appropriate. You don't have to be weird. You know, there's a lot of weird Christians out there in our family, isn't there? Just I see them all the time. You know, they force it, and "Do you know Jesus?" And, you know, grabbing you, cornering you. It's like, I get that sometimes, and I just have fun with it. It's like, "Do you know Jesus?" "Well, I know Jesus," and I just play with them, and pretty soon they find out, and it's like, "Oh, why are you wasting my time? Why are you wasting my time? Shouldn't you?" Anyway, you know, I have seen the Lord. You know, I think there's several important points about this post-resurrection appearance to Mary that's worth noting, because we, like the early disciples, forget. And here's a few takeaway points I just offer as I close, right? First of all, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and loves to release us from spiritual darkness, and that he can heal our physical bodies as well, right? This is what Luke 8 adds, right? Jesus released Mary Magdalene from clear demonic oppression, as we saw in the clip on The Chosen, healed her from some undisclosed disease. Speculation on my part, right? If she had been a prostitute, could it have been STD, maybe? Don't know, we're not told. Insightful though. Number two, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and loves to be present in our lives. He loves to comfort us and wipe away our tears. Right, do you believe that? In your darkest moments, Jesus wants to comfort you? Or what weird image do you have of Jesus? You know, one of these, you know, a German taskmaster or something like that? No, that's not the biblical image. Jesus has a wonderful sense of humor. He lovingly calls out Mary Magdalene's name, just like that video clip, right? She was his special beloved follower. She was comforted. Her tears joyfully ended. Number three, Jesus reminds us that the risen Jesus has the power and loves to commission and use the most unlikely people for his divine purposes. Oh, God could never use me, fill in the blank. Nonsense. It's a lie from the pit of hell. What do you expect? What are you bringing before God? Right? Don't let somebody tell you you're not worthy. Jesus says you're worthy in me, right? Jesus' special heart for and has a compassion for the lost, the broken, and the hurting. That's why we started this church, right? He called a group of uneducated fishermen, angry zealots, tax collectors, and in Mary's case, former prostitutes to be his special followers and witnesses in this fallen world. Who's allowed in church?
Everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Number four, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has the power and loves to commission us to be his powerful witnesses, right? To proclaim like Mary. You don't have to have a degree in theology or any of that stuff, right? All you have to say, I've seen Jesus. I know Jesus. Can I share him with you? Oh, no, you're not ready? Okay, that's cool. Maybe another time, right? That's why God has called Mosaic to be what? Radically loving, giving, and forgiving in all we say and do. Mary Magdalene's a powerful, powerful reminder to us in these days of Eastertide that Jesus can take prostitutes and make them spiritual virgins again, right? You could tell me your story, and I'm happy to listen, and it'll be between you, me, and God, right? But don't say that God can't heal. Don't say that God, you don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me. Don't tell me that lie. Jesus went to the cross for you, rose from the dead for you. I think he can handle, if he can take care of Mary, he can take care of you, right? If Jesus can do that, what will you trust Jesus for with your own life, in your own family, with your neighbors who desperately need him? What will you believe Jesus for today? And how will you tell others like Mary, simply, you know what? I've seen the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful Easter time, this season of your appearances to your beloved disciples, male and female, to us as well. Forgive us for forgetting that your resurrection changes everything, and now it's the beginning of all things new. Thank you for the example and model of Mary, that you can change hearts, that you can take anyone from any walk of life and make them new again, make them clean again, and use them for your purposes. We thank you for that encouraging word today, and we pray all this and only in the name of our resurrected Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Amen. Amen.